I'd like to say good morning, everyone. We're very thankful this morning that God has blessed us to see another day. So thankful to have so many on the call this morning. Appreciate those brethren whose work gone before me with the prayers and scripture reading, song leading. Appreciate the prayers for us as a congregation, as we still on the phone line. Thank God that He's given us a way to come together. We're praying that we can get back together soon at the building. If you're on the call today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored guest, and we appreciate having you on our call this morning. We believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. If you want to go to heaven, you got to do it the way God has said do it in this book we call the Bible. The Bible teaches that Jesus died on the cross. He died for our sins. He died that we could be saved. He died that our sins could be washed away. He was buried in a borrowed tomb and rose early on Sunday morning with all power and gave the command that we go teach this good news. It's good news that He died for our sins according to the scriptures. And when one would believe it, when we repent of their sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, we are commanded to baptize them. That's how you become a Christian. Then you be added to the only church in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. So that's what we believe in. We studied from the book of Acts. So you turn to Acts chapter 18 right now. That's where we're going to be at this morning for a little while. Acts chapter 18, I am clean. It's the title of the sermon, I am clean. In verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So Paul leaves Athens where he dealt with those idolaters. We learned that in our previous lesson. Now he's in the city of Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And these two people will be in Paul's life throughout his ministry. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. See, we see Paul here. Not only was an apostle, but Paul was a working man, a tent maker. And that's an honorable thing. Men should work, I think. And, the Bible teaches that in Genesis chapter 3. In the sweat of their face shall they eat bread. See, we have to sweat and eat. To eat, men got to work. And the Bible teaches that we ought to work. And Paul was a working apostle. And that's what all men should do, work and take care of their families. Amen. The Bible says in Second Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul wrote this. He said in verse 7, for you yourself know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor. Notice that. Labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you, to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. We hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Notice this, working not at all, but a busybody. So people who don't work, you know, and it's to all the brothers, it's me and you, we really, in today's society, it seems like it's accepted that men can just stay home and let the women work. And that's just, it seems like that's the way we want it to be, but that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we work and, it looks very serious. And when a person's not working, they got a lot of idle time. Like you said, these people became disorderly, working not at all, but busybodies. Lazy men do not work, stay in a lot of trouble. So Paul just throw that in there. Paul was a tent maker. He was a preacher of the gospel. There were those who worked with him. And that's a great thing about men who preach the gospel, having others who support theirs. One of the greatest blessings is having Brother Stroud, my sister. He certainly has been a blessing to my ministry and others who have worked with me. Now, notice this. He says, now, in verse 4, and the Bible says that he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. And like on the Sabbath, he didn't do no work, but so he was still reasoning, persuaded the Jews and the Greek. Paul must have worked during the week, preached on Sabbath, look like. Bible says that when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Notice this. Paul is pressed in the spirit. What does that mean? He feels this urge in the spirit, preaching Jesus as Christ. That's an urgent matter. Even in today's world, preachers like myself and others should feel pressed in the spirit that it's urgent that we testify of this Jesus we're talking about, the one who can save souls, the one who can make a difference in people's lives. And that's what the world needs today. With all the stuff we got going on, the more we can share Jesus, the more people will be better off. I'm often pressed in the spirit. When I know lost souls, or in my listening audience, even when I'm preaching online here, all the folk are calling in and listening, I know it's urgent that I tell them what they must do to be saved. That's what I always try to do. Never leave out that Jesus was Christ. He's a Savior. And if we don't tell them who their Savior is, we're not pressed in our spirit. We're pressed in the spirit because Jesus is the Savior of the world. We will live in a world of lost sinners. But we know God so loved the world. He sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but the world through him. This is the only hope of salvation. It's through Jesus the Christ. To all the young men on the call who aspire to be preachers, understand the urgency of what we're doing. Understand the gravity, the seriousness of what we're doing, and that when we share that Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Christ. That's what Paul was sharing with the Jews. Peter shared it with the Jews. This we must continue to share. Our Heights, this is what we're doing as a congregation. We all should be pressed in the spirit to feel this urgent need to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. What a great blessing it is to be in a congregation who's the spirit of the individual pressed and understand the urgency of getting this good news to the world. In verse 6, it said, when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment, said unto them, your blood be upon your own hands. I am clean. Before I get my towel right there. Henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. I want to put on our minds this morning that understanding that we have an obligation to do what Paul was doing, and that was preaching Jesus as Christ. But there will be those who will oppose, those who will not accept the truth. And it comes a time when we got to move on. Paul shook his raiment. And that just means his hands are now clean. Why? Because he said, the blood is upon your own hands. See? And this is something we all need to accept. That we can only go so far with those we love and we want them to be saved and all these things like that. I'm sure we do. Never. I'm not saying give up. But I am saying this. There is a personal responsibility for everybody listening to me now. On the sign of my voice. That your blood is on your own head. After you've been told. After you know. That applies to me. It applies to you. It means that we know, we make our own decisions about our own soul. No one will be standing at judgment with me. I will stand before God for my own decisions. I got a question for everybody listening. What is your current decision about your own soul? How are you living? What willful sin is in your life that you know that if you die right now, you would not go to heaven? How serious do you take the decision that the blood is on your own head? It's like spiritual suicide. When we make decisions to continue to live in sin, we're pulling the trigger. Blank after blank after blank, but it's going to be a day when you pull the trigger and it's going to be a bullet in the chamber. What are you saying, Brother Bruce? You took your own life. It's your own soul. That's the emphasis. There's a personal responsibility that these people had. Paul let them know. He told them about Jesus. They opposed. They blasphemed. So Paul says, your blood is on your own. I am clean. There comes a responsibility for those of us who tell others. It comes a time when we have to decide, are we telling people? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you teaching people through your life, through your conversations? Do you say anything to people on your Facebook, on your Instagram, through your email, on your telephone, through your text message? What do you tell people that you know are lost? Are you telling them about Jesus? If you're not, you're not clean. See, here's the thing. We have been given a charge, a command by God to go into the world and preach this gospel. Teach all nations. Matthew 28:18. Mark 16:15-16. We have a responsibility to do that, to preach Jesus as Christ. And when we do that, you can say, I have done my part. When you've done your part to share with someone, the blood is no longer on your shoulder. How many of you have shared with someone? How many of you can make this statement, I am clean? That I've told people. I tell people about the Lord. I tell them about the church. I tell them about baptism. You don't have to be in a pulpit to do this. It's all of us. Even in Ezekiel time, God warned Ezekiel chapter 3. He told him this. Ezekiel 3:17. He says, Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth. Give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But notice what God told Ezekiel, but his blood I will require at your hand. Here's why I don't believe in telling people what they want to hear. It's not that something we should do. Because that could come back as a boomerang on your own soul. Our souls are at stake. When we teach people and we don't have them, then we'll take the opportunity to teach them the truth and don't share them with them that they could be lost if they don't obey the truth. Ezekiel 3:19 says, God said, if you warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. See that? God is saying, once you tell them, I'm not going to hold you responsible. I'll hold you responsible for not telling people. But once you tell them and they don't obey, it's no longer your responsibility. You've delivered your soul. I try my best to speak what the Bible speaks. Try to deliver souls. And in my audience, they're listening to me when I speak. It should be the heart and charge and the desire of every man who calls himself a preacher. And this is not just the non-Christians. This is not just to those who are not members of the Church of Christ we're talking about here. You know that, right? But to members of the Lord's Church who consider themselves righteous. Listen to Ezekiel 3:20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, look at it, this means he was living right, then he stopped. And commit iniquity, he's going against God's law, and lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered. But his blood I require at thy hand. Told Ezekiel again, you got to tell the members of the church too. And members of the church, those who are not members of the church, everyone need to be warned. Notice this in verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Can you see? You got it's to those who don't know the Lord. It's also to those who fall by the wayside. The Bible doesn't teach what to say by the wayside. I got to stand up every Sunday. Every time I get on this call, I got to say, I am clean. Because I told them. I often say that to people when, if we stand in there on the day of judgment, and you were in my listening audience, and you look at me, I'm standing there, you're looking at God, and I'm looking at God, and God said, I say, see, Lord said, he look at your record, he said, I see here on May the 2nd, 2021. I see you was on a conference. Carl Brooks was preaching. And he told you about the one church. I see he told you about baptism. He told you that he had to be clean when it comes to your soul. But you didn't obey. You didn't get baptized. You didn't take the Lord's Supper. You didn't believe in the book. You didn't believe in the one church. I'm clean. I'm clean. If I stop preaching, everybody on this call have been told. I've talked to members on here. I'm telling visitors on here. Once you're warned, once you're told, you have a personal responsibility at that time to do something about saving your own soul. And that's what Ezekiel was told. Of course, that is what many people today don't want to be told the truth. Just like there were in Old Testament times. Isaiah said in Isaiah 30 and verse 8, now go write it before them in the table, and note in the book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. We say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto a smooth thing, prophesy and deceit. What can I do to make a difference in the world? Speaking smooth things don't make a difference. Tough love, speaking the truth in love, is what takes place in order for me to say I am clean, because I spoke the truth in love. Not to be mean, not to be hateful, not to beat up on the Baptist and Methodist. No, that's not what we're doing. We're saying this is what God has said. This is the church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. This is when the people need to hear it. Anytime there's an audience that I got an opportunity to teach them, and they have in my audience, it doesn't matter what setting I'm in, I'm going to tell them the truth in love. Telling the truth in love, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, or a funeral, I'm going to speak the truth in love. Why? The blood is on my shoulders. And I have to do it. We all should want to say, anytime we got a chance to tell someone about Jesus the Christ, to say what's the most precious thing they have, and that is not their feelings. The most precious thing we possess is our souls. And we got to know we're clean when it comes to teaching people, telling them Paul told Timothy like this. He said in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing so. In doing this, thou shalt both, notice this, save thyself and them that hear thee. This is a serious matter. For those of us who are Christians who want to go to heaven, that we do not be those Christians who don't tell people in love about Jesus as a Christ. Our soul is on the line. Let's go back to Acts. Look at what Paul did in verse 7. Let's go back to Acts 18, verse 7. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Sometimes when people don't want to hear about Jesus, it's best just to relieve yourself and go to the people who believe. I am 100% convinced after preaching the years I've been preaching. Even some members of the church do not believe 100%. They don't believe. People who are going to be saved will be believers. They don't question God. They don't question what he said do. They don't question something. They don't make an insinuation as if maybe, you know, maybe you don't have to be baptized. Maybe, just maybe, is it possible that there are Christians in every church? Just maybe. Is it something? Or is it, well, maybe. God maybe does hear sinner prayer. Well, that's unbelief. If the Bible says it, you got to believe it. You can't question it. That means that's a form of unbelief. When a person believes, they believe, not 99.8%, that Christians are in the Church of Christ. That's unbelief. What does it come down to, Brother Bruce? How can you be clean when you don't even believe it yourself? Well, that's because, understand that your own responsibility was to you first, to save yourself, to believe that the Bible is right without questioning it, and just let it be what it says. That's the way we should live. People who are going to be saved will be people who believe that if they die in their sin, they can't go to heaven. You're not going to believe that I die in my sin, I can go to heaven. You believe you can't. And that makes you, it gives you this urgent need to be faithful, to try to make your confession if you need to. Make your confession to be baptized. When you believe it, it's a scary thing. It's a fearful thing to have to face God. It's a fearful thing to think about being lost forever. Talk about tormented. To go to hell, what I'm talking about. Beautiful thing to go to heaven. But you can't ignore hell as if it don't exist. That's unbelief. You got to believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. And when you believe that, you're going to take care of your own responsibility to yourself first. And you're going to be clean because you're going to tell other people what you believe and why you believe it. So he entered to this man's house, Justus, one that worshiped God. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. See that? Got Justus, he's a believer. Crispus, chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. After Paul taught them with urgency, the chief ruler of the synagogue believed. There was a high-ranking guy in Judaism. Not only did he believe, all of his house, which tells me that those of us who are men of God understand we can lead our whole house to the Lord. But we also lead them to hell. Have you thought about that? And many of the Corinthians, notice what they hearing, believed, and were baptized. There's the plan of salvation right there. You find it, where's the plan of salvation? There it is. Did they hear it? Yes. Did they believe? Yes. Did they repent? It's implied. They had to. Jesus said, I tell you, they accept you repent, you're going to perish. And then they were baptized. That's what we teach today. You got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. boy Paul preaching Jesus the Christ. They had to acknowledge that he was the Christ in order to be saved. And so these believers are obeying the gospel. Paul is clean of those he told that they didn't obey. These are the ones who are going to be saved because they're obedient to God's will. So we don't want to get so bogged down on non-believers who are kicking against the truth because they're still honest and sincere people seriously seeking to be saved. Do you understand that a person who is seeking truth, seeking to be a true worshiper, they don't fight against the truth. Just like Philip and the eunuch. The eunuch didn't fight against the truth. He was reading his Bible. Philip went to him, preached to him Jesus. The man said, see, here's some water. How can I accept some man guide me? That's what a person who's seeking the truth, they want to be guided. Two things going to happen. They're going to have a desire to be guided. They're going to believe in the word of God. When you show them in the word of God, they're going to believe it because they believe in the word of God and their desire is to be saved. Our job is to teach them so we can say, I am clean. There's somebody on the call this morning who need to do this. You need to be like these Corinthians here, believing, hearing what I'm teaching, believing it. Be willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized today. Are you that person? I hope you would be. Because your blood is on your own head. It's up to you. I'm clean, I told you. Listen to the Bible here in verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak and not hold that peace. The Lord comes to tell Paul, you just keep on preaching. Don't worry about it. Them folks that are rejecting you. You're not going to get hurt by this. For I am with thee. No man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among you. The Lord thought it was necessary to tell Paul, don't let him stop you. Just keep preaching. Here's something else we need to keep in mind. We're teaching the truth. That God is on our side. God is with us. And when we know God is with us and we're doing his will, we have no reason to be afraid to tell people the truth. Telling people the truth shouldn't bring fear to our life. Telling them the truth should be something, because the blood is upon their own heads. We tell them they don't do anything about it. As long as I'm teaching them, I am clean. Listen to verse 12. When Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. See, it was an insurrection, which means a united attack against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. They rose up against him. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked, lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and your law, look to you to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. He drove them out of the judgment. See, when God is with you, he'll use men to help you that don't even believe. Even men in the courts will judge in your favor. But if you're in the court now, in the court, you're guilty. God's not going to allow that. You're guilty, you're guilty. The law is for the lawless. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8 through 9. Verse number 17 says, Then all the Greeks took Sothenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. These Jews failed to convince Gallio to prosecute Paul, but Jesus had already told them, they can't bother you. I'm with you. So Paul wasn't worried about that. But this man, Gallio, threw his case out of court. So the Greeks, who were spectators in the court, turned on their chiefs Jewish chief ruler, and beat him right there in the court before the judge. Gallio, knowing it was a religious dispute and a poor attempt by the Jews to bring it to the civil court, allowed them to beat that man. See, God is on Paul's side here. There's a whole lot of things going on around them. They don't understand who they're dealing with when they're dealing with a man of God. Paul is clean, though. Paul is clean. He told all of them. He told them the truth. And God is standing with him because he was telling the truth. In Acts 18:18, Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria with his Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. Now, Paul had made a vow to these people. We don't know exactly what it was, but we all need to know this. It's important to remember that when you make a vow, God expects us to keep it. Listen to the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. In verse 4, it says, when thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it, for he had no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. He said, better it is that thou shouldst not vow than should vow and not pay it. What that mean? Whatever you say you're going to do, if you vow to do something, make sure that you pay it or that you do it. Vows in relationships, vows in friendship, vows in marriage, vows in church. As a Christian, we made a vow. When we made a vow that we were going to serve God, made him Lord and Master of our life, obey the gospel. What are we doing? God expects us to keep our vows. And that blood is on our own heads when we don't. In closing, let's go back to Acts 18:19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So sometimes, you know, when Paul is reasoning, you know, we hear a lot about debates. Some of the debates I've attended in the years of Churches of Christ were nothing but fight matches. It was my hook or win. You know, we beat up the Baptist and clap about it. So, man, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about trying to reason with people who, we're not talking about beating people up with the Bible, but you got to reason with them because people's souls are at stake. So he's reasoning with them, trying to get them to come to understanding. Just like I'm doing this morning, I'm trying to reason with you, think about these things. I'm saying. They desired him to tarry a long time with them. He consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. When he had landed in Caesarea, he had gone up and saluted the church. He went down to Antioch. After that, he had spent some time there. He departed, went over all the country of Galatia, Phrygia, in order to strengthen all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, here we are to this guy named Apollos. Paul is doing all this. He's teaching people. He's strengthening the church. He's sharing the gospel. He got Aquila and Priscilla with him, and they are helping him. And notice this. He comes upon this guy who's eloquent. He can speak well. Mighty in the scripture. He knew that Old Testament. But you know this guy was lost. How do you know, Brother Brooks? Listen to the Bible. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, eloquent man, mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and talked diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of Jonah. That's all he knew. He didn't know the whole story. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, who when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded on him the way of God more perfectly. They saw this man was lost. They saw this man had desire. He had fervent. He was fervent in his spirit. He was wanting to teach the truth. He was trying to teach the truth, but he didn't know the whole truth. He only knew about the baptism. That's the same thing happens, you all. When it comes to us being Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, people that are good people, They're fervent in spirit. But we understand one thing, they can still be lost. Because they just don't know. So here's these people pulling to the side and expounding the way of God more perfectly. See, sometimes you can know a lot about the Bible but still not know the truth. This guy knew a lot about what John was teaching, John the Baptist had been teaching. He still didn't know the whole truth about salvation. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Some people just keep learning, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. It's what we see with some of our religious friends. They're out there calling on the name of Jesus. Sad. It's a sad thought. It's a sad thought. If you just go to Matthew 7:21-23, you can't help but be sad for these people. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me today, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out devils, in your name done many wonderful works. Good people. But I will profess unto them, verse 23, Jesus said, I never knew you. You were the work of iniquity. You never done it the way I told you. That's what the problem was. They did not do it the way God told them. What this man was doing, he was teaching, but he wasn't teaching the whole truth. He hadn't obeyed it himself. So Aquila and Priscilla and Paul's hands are clean. They told him, but notice the response was this. When he was taught more perfectly, the Bible says that when he was disposed to pass in their care, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, by the grace of God. He gave them opportunity to hear the truth. Then he said, look at what he does. He mightily convinced the Jews that publicly, shown by the scriptures, there you go, that Jesus would cry back to what Paul was doing. Now he's doing the same thing. But what is he using? What did Paul use? What am I using this morning? Scriptures. And the scripture teach that Jesus is Christ. When a person's heart is open to receive God, we receive scripture. The Bible said, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. James 1:21. What's able to save our soul? Engrafted word. What do we do? Hear the word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the beginning. When a person's heart is open to receive this truth, this person can be saved. Person can obey. And then after obedience, he went on mightily convinced the Jews after he obeyed himself. After he learned the truth for himself. Then he was able to share with others the whole truth. The bottom line was he had to save his own soul first before he could help others. How many of you all realize the blood is upon your own head this morning? How many of you, if you knew, if you're going to die tonight, if you knew, would you hit 5-star and make confession? If you knew you was going to die tonight, would you hit 5-star and say, I want to get baptized this morning? If you knew. He said, Brother Brooks, if I knew for sure I was going to die, I'd do it. But that just means the blood is on your own head then. I'm clean. Because I asked you. Now, you can hear 5-star when we get ready to give an invitation song. If you're a member of the church, as Paul told Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, tell a righteous man. If the righteous have left his righteousness, meaning you've fallen by the wayside or you have sinned, you need to get your life right with God, you can hear 5-star. Blood's on your own head. I'm clean of that. I gave you a chance to do it. That's my job. Tell you. Bible says, if a man be overtaken and fall, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. This is your chance to be restored. He also said, confess your faults one to another. You say, brother, says, I have sinned. I ask the church to pray for me. You ask the righteous, why you ask the church to pray for you? And the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. He turns his face against them to do evil. You believe that? Do you believe God turns his face against them to do evil? Do you believe God hears the righteous? I do. Who's the righteous? Don't try to pick them out. Just ask the church to pray for you. God know who the righteous are. He know who he's listening to. His ears are open to their prayer. Does he listen to a sinner's prayer? No. What if? No, there's no what if. He don't. Why you say that, brother? Because the Bible teaches that. You don't. It's not that he can't. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save. Neither is your heaven that he cannot hear, but your iniquities going against God's law have separated you from your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It's a decision of God. Who on the call would answer that question this morning? In your heart of hearts, you did answer. You said, I knew. You said in your heart of hearts, if I die now, I'm not going to be saved. When I posed the question, you answered. You said, well, I didn't say anything. It's the thought that counts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, God don't look on the outward appearance. God looks at your heart. And maybe there's some who say, you know, Brother Brooks, I know, but I have not repented. So what am I to do? Well, you got to repent. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you just need somebody to pray for you right now so that you have some time, grace. Maybe God, praying, asking God to give you time, be long-suffering. There's nothing wrong with asking for prayer. I'm trying to get some things right in my life. Right? Nothing wrong with asking for prayer. Thank God that we got prayer as a spiritual blessing. Don't you all thank God about that? I'm telling you how many of us still alive because somebody prayed for us. God giving us another chance because of his grace and his mercy. He's not willing that we perish. It's not God's desire that we perish, but that we all come to repentance. And that's what he wants then. If you're on the call this morning, you're not a Christian. And I pose that question to you. You can become a Christian this morning. How do you do that, brother? By believing the Bible. If you believe the Bible, then you'll believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You believe that Jesus came and lived among men. You never saw him with your own eyes. You believe that he walked among men for about 33 years. You believe that he was in Jerusalem. And it was there that they took him to trials and courts. Found him not guilty. You read how he stood before Pilate. Pilate said, I found no fault with the man. You believe that after he stood before Pilate, that they whipped him with the whip, scourged him to the point he had stripes from the whip all over his body. From those stripes came the blood. You would believe that without ever seeing it with your own eyes. And Jesus went through that brutal beating, spit upon him, mocked, carried the tree of the cross to Calvary. And when he got to Calvary, the Roman soldiers, you would believe, without ever seeing it, that the Roman soldiers drove the nail in his hands and his feet. You would believe without ever seeing that he hung there, and the two thieves, one on the right and one on the left, you would believe that with all your heart. That it was Jesus who was on the cross, suffering, crying out to his Father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? You would believe that, he said that. You will believe that he looked out among the people and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You will believe that. You will believe he told one of the thieves, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You believe he told John, take care of the mother. Behold your mama. You will believe that he said, into thy hand I commend my spirit. You will believe that Jesus said on the cross. You would believe this without ever hearing it with your own ears, that Jesus said it was finished. It was finished. It was at the cross, my first song of life. And the burdens of my soul rolled away. It was on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. On that cross, you would believe the kindest man, the most loving man, the most sweetest man ever lived among you. Died for you and I. You would believe that with all of your heart. If you believe that with all of your heart, you would be willing to repent. Say, I'm going to make change based on what God has done for me and how good Jesus was, that he gave his life. What love. Oh, what love. Matchless love. Was shown for you and me. You would believe that. You would be willing to change your life. You hear it, number one. You believe the story of the gospel. You repent, Luke 13:3-5. But before you make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. You deny me, I'll deny you, Matthew 10:32-33. And after that, you follow the command that Jesus gave. That is to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Peter told them that on the day of Pentecost. When they had killed him, the people who killed him asked, what were we going to do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. I don't know of anything worse you could do to kill the Son of God. But saving grace was right there with him. Peter said, you repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins. That's what baptism is for. It's everything's washed away. By the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5, all your sins are washed away. And then the Lord then will add you to the only church in the Bible, Acts 2:47, the church of Christ. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily, said you should be saved. So what do we believe about that? Well, my hand, I'm clean. I believe that saved in the church of Christ. And I told you that. I don't believe there's a Christian, nothing outside the church of Christ. I don't believe it at all. Not a zero chance. Not a chance. Because the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. If you believe like that, then you'll become a member of the Church of Christ. If you believe like that, you get baptized immediately. If you believe like that, you believe that the Bible is right in every word of it, you would believe that you need to be saved. You would believe that you're lost if you haven't been baptized. You would believe that you're lost if you won't call and you're a member of the church and you done left the church and you haven't been faithful. You, if you're a believer, you know you are. You answered a while ago, though. I'm clean on the matter. You answered when I asked that question. I had to answer when I asked the question. If you die tonight, would you be saved? What we want to do now, we'll ask you if you want to be, if you want us to baptize you, if you want a Bible class, you want to call you a visitor. You are one that can answer that question. You want to be baptized. We want you to hit 5-star on your phone and let us know who you are. If you're a member of the church and you had to answer that question and you're not comfortable in your spirit right now, you can make a confession or ask a prayer. And after the song, we'll take your prayer request.